Am I on yet? Yeah, now I am. Since I'm on, you can be seated. If I was off, you'd have to stand the entire service. I'm going to have a good time tonight. I don't know about you guys. There is no sad Holy Ghost. Come on now. You can't get in the presence of God without getting happy because we have a happy pappy. Come on now. We need to understand that. Something major is there's a shift that's happened in this nation. Come on. And understand there's a war cry because we have to fight to take back what the devil's stolen. But now we're in a position we can take it back. And we need to realize what's going on. So, you know, God told me every time before I preach, we do have a couple of books back there, Righteousness Revealed and Revival Roar, and they're both great. You know, Jack's book is great, by the way. It is. I'm going to put a plug in because he said, did you read it? I actually read it the first week, man. The first week. Yeah, well, that's right. You know, more pictures are needed. But great revelation. It really is. If we don't get the love of revelation, nothing else works. Come on now. Nothing else works. And we're excited because tomorrow my wife sends her newest book, How to Hear the Shepherd's Voice, to print. And Revival Roar, we're in like, I think the seventh or eighth printing. And I mean, we print about 1,000 copies a time. So it's kind of different. You know, it's been flying. A Righteousness Revealed back there, we've sold 150,000 of those. You know, but that, you know, we're not that big, you know. But the bottom line is, God told me, he said, you know, before we preach, he said, just get the people saying, I see revival. I see revival. I don't know about you. I do. I see revival. Everywhere I go, I'm getting people saying, I see. And guess what? They're beginning to see revival. Come on, because you'll get what you say. See, there's a shift coming. Why don't you go to Malachi chapter 4? But we, you know, God's been talking to me about how he's going to take us from a congregational mindset to a congressional mindset. And what that basically means is congressional literally are the ones that rule. They make the rules. Come on now. And see, in order to be in Congress, you had to be elected. And you are God's elect. Come on now. And you've been given God, because you were elected, you have his authority. Come on now. And we're going to come into a season of authority like never before, where we're going to decree a thing, and it's going to become established. We have understood priestly intercession, but we're going to come into a season where we understand kingly intercession. Where we're actually just, basically, God's going to command us to speak. Sometimes he's going to command us to command him. Come on now. You know, this had nothing to do with my message, but I have to say it because I'm so excited this week because I'm working with the church and we built the 3,000-seat auditorium, but we don't have enough parking. And because of that, there's only so much of the auditorium we're allowed to use because you're only allowed to have an occupancy based on, well, you know, we had a big grocery store next door. And, you know, for a while we were thinking, what are we going to do? Well, God just said, he said, begin to speak to that land. Call it yours. Call it in. You know? And the pastor called me up on Sunday after I was preaching in Pennsylvania. He said, he said, I know you will believe it. He said, I'm learning to, because he's a younger pastor. But he said that the owner of the that particular grocery store chain called him up and said, are you interested? We said, we're going to close that store. Are you interested in buying it? Or he said, could you work out a deal where we can get a tax break if we give it to you? Now, we're dealing with a huge place. It's like another 55, 60,000 square feet, which is pretty good. Come on now. Just a week ago, one of my friends in Indiana had a 250,000 square foot building give to him. 2-3,000 seat auditoriums are in the building already. 5-year-old building. A billionaire He just said, I think you're supposed to have it. He said, I think we'll take it. Come on now. Transference of wealth. Come on. Malachi 4:2. God told me every morning I wake up. Last year was Psalm 126, where God told me it'd be the year of the turnaround. And he told me specifically that it was going to turn around politically. You know? And I believe we saw that. I do. You know, you got to understand something. I'm on the inside. I'm so far on the inside, it's ridiculous, because I know a lot of the personal advisors to the president, the spiritual advisors. And it's amazing what's going on. You know, he is still a diamond in the rough, and there are times we just have to pray. But the bottom line is something's beginning to happen. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 is what God told me this year would be a year of release. That everything, that things that have been held up are going to be released. Come on now. That many times we have been stuck in a place not because we did anything wrong, but because honestly, it wasn't our time to be released. You know, so we've been living in a place too small, too limited for us. And we've been growing on the inside and we've been faithful over little. But honestly, no matter how hard we tried, we were limited. And I told people, I said, over the last 12 years in this nation, if you survived, you did well. So it's not just because of one political party, because both parties were in control during that time. But the nation was not God-friendly in the last 12 years. It wasn't. Things are changing. Come on now. You got to understand that. You know, we're trying to get God back on the scene. And if you don't understand that this is a war between the Antichrist people and the Christ people, you're missing it. It's a spiritual war going on. And it says in verse in Malachi 4:2, it's a verse that God really impressed me. He says, for you who fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, it's not S-O-N, it's the Son of Righteousness, because what it is the sunrise. Come on, the Son of Righteousness will rise. What does that mean? It's a new day. It's a new day. Come on now. With healing in its wings, what does God say? As we recognize the sunrise, there's going to be a healing revival. And it says we're going to be like calves that have been released from a stall. Come on now. And we're going to go out, and we're going to go out in such fire that we're going to tread down the wicked, not wicked people, but wicked spirits. We literally going to take authority over that which has been destroying this nation. Come on now. And it's going to be like ashes underneath our feet. And then God says he's going to raise up a prophetic voice, a prophetic anointing in this nation. I don't only believe it's going to be in the pulpits. I believe it's going to be in almost every major arena. There's going to be a prophetic revelatory voice. Come on now. And that's literally how the righteous are going to come to rule, because of that revelation. Come on. And it says that like the spirit of Elijah, it's going to turn the hearts to the fathers to the children. So there's going to be a raising up, a tremendous, many people are going to step into spiritual fatherhood. At the same time, there's going to be a great harvest, so the hearts of the children will be turned to their fathers. Our sons and our spiritual daughters will come from afar. We're starting to see that. You know, my pastor, I was told, he used to be the youth pastor at Grace Fellowship under Bob Yandian. And he said, they asked him to preach to the big congregation for the first time, and they want him to preach on raising up the next prophetic generation. And he said he preached, and it was awful. He said, I know it was awful. He said, I think they only sold 5 CDs, and I bought them all. You understand, that's a place like with 3,000 people attending. And he said, I wasn't feeling real good, and then I looked at the title of the of the CD, and he said, I felt worse because it said raising up the next pathetic generation. But we are going to see a prophetic generation moved up. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. It's so important we hear the voice of God now. It's so important. It's so important that we recognize his presence everywhere. Because he's always there, but if we don't recognize him, it doesn't do us any good. Come on. God is omnipresent, but what he wants to do through us is he wants to literally have us walk in manifest presence. Walking in the glory of God. The manifest presence of God everywhere. I found out God will show up in the weirdest places if you're recognizing him. You know? In Philippians chapter 3, we see a prophetic progression. And it says, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than this, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. They may know him. That should be our desire, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, you need, anytime you're suffering, you need to fellowship with his sufferings. Because he suffered so you wouldn't. So when you're dealing with sickness, you have an attack on your body, fellowship with his stripes. You know, when you feel like you've been rejected, fellowship, when it said all forsook him. Come on. You know, he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But he's not only touched, he wants to touch our infirmities to change our feelings. Come on now. Being conformed to his death in order that we may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect. But I press on. I believe it's a time to press us on. Come on. I press on in order that I may lay hold of for that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. And I'm going to tell you something. Forget the past. Forget it. You know, forget it. I mean, you know, remember past victories, but forget the rest of it. It's not worth it. And don't camp in the past. It says, you know, we're forgetting what lies behind. We press forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. I don't know if anything else is going on with me, but there's a press going on. I have to see revival. It's our time now. I have to see things recouped and gained back into hands. Come on now. I have to see it. And what I'm beginning to recognize is everything. See, there's a prophetic progression. Everything begins with the presence of God. Everything. You know, everything really ends in the presence of God. Because without the presence, we don't have church. We have religion. You know, it's all about drawing God, not drawing people. You know, I want to reach people. I want to reach as many people as possible, but I don't want to reach them if I'm not reaching them with the presence of God. Come on now. Because how you catch them is how you keep them. And I don't want to offend God and limit him so that we can have more people. Come on. So, but out of the presence, you can't hang around God any length of time without him talking purpose. I always tell people, don't even seek his plan. Seek his face. Seek his face, you'll know his plan. But he said, I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. Plans to give you a future, give you a hope. But it's not for calamity, but for your good. But what does he go on to say? You'll find the plan if you seek me with all your heart, not if you seek the plan. So you hang around God, he begins to talk to you about purpose, but he doesn't want you to go out just because you know the purpose. He wants you to hang around until you got the power. So we see always it's presence, purpose, and power. I don't know about you, and when I first started preaching, I may say that in another 10 years, but some of the stuff I preached was awful. It was sad. I mean, it amazed me that God still showed up. In fact, I remember asking him one time, I said, God, how did you show up with all the stuff I preached that was so bad? And this is what he said to me. He said, because you wanted me. He said there are a lot of people that they're preaching total truth, but they don't want me. He said, I want you to love the truth. I'm glad you've outgrown some of the stuff you were preaching. But he said the most important thing is desire for the presence of God. That is the most important thing there is. Come on now. In fact, if you desire the presence of God, you'll eventually become a lover of truth because he is the truth. Come on now. And because in this book, every single promise reveals his face. And once you recognize that, it's amazing. And when God shows up, you've had a, you know, what I've learned is when God shows up big time, I am satisfied big time. I've gone places where I knew it was a good message. That's all it was. Walked out frustrated because I know the people didn't get what they were supposed to. And sometimes I knew it wasn't my fault. They just weren't hungry. Because you're either going to be hungry and being filled, or you're fed up and there's nothing I can do for you. Come on now. But see, you need to understand, before a man can seek God, God must have first sought the man. Even your desire to seek God is God at work in you. Come on. It's a God thing. And I remember, you know, I was preaching this earlier in the year, and while I was getting ready, God said, he spoke to me, he said, may I have this dance? I said, what's going on? And he began to recognize, he said, Woody, I want you to dance with me. Come on. See, what I found out is I went through all the scriptures about dancing before the Lord. Come on. You know, I found out something about God is, you know, God just loves being with you. He loves doing things with you. Come on now. So, for us, it's all about God. You know, so for God, it's all about us. It's a love relationship. He's wild about you. He just wants to be with you. He just wants you to be with him. He wants you to want to be with him. In Revelation 3, we always misquote this. I believe it's verse 19 or 20, but behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it's great. We use it for salvation. It's fine. You know? But the bottom line is it's written to the church. So what happens is God comes and he knocks on the door and he says, I want to do dinner with you. He says, because if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. And he said, not only do I want to do dinner with you, I want to bring the meal. So, you know, I asked God, I said, God, how come you knock on the doors and most people don't open the door? He said, because the house is unclean. And I'm going to give you some good news tonight. Very good news. And you know, where I live in Tulsa, my house, we have a porch. I love porches. In fact, my next house will even have a bigger porch. I love porches. I love them. I mean, I should have been born in the South with the total South, you know, because I love, I mean, and so, you know, but a lot of times people will come unexpected. I don't even care if they're relatives. And they'll ring the doorbell. My wife will say, who's at the door? And I don't usually open the door. I kind of look out from one of the windows. And you know, I say, so-and-so. And my wife will invariably say, don't let them in. Why? Because the house isn't clean. You know, my next house is going to be so big that the first three rooms, no one ever is going to do anything in those rooms except for company. They are company rooms. Nobody's allowed to breathe. Nobody's allowed to eat there. Nobody's allowed to do anything there. It is our fake life. Come on now. You know? And we're going to have a bathroom right there. And that is for company. That is for the people who show up on the porch. Come on. We'll live in the rest of the house. But you know what? When Jesus knocks on the door, he already knows you have unclean rooms. And be honest with you, probably every one of us have some things in our life that are cluttered. Sometimes we have tried to clean them for years and gotten bigger mess. You know, God said, I already know they're there. I still love you. I still want to hang with you. And he said, if you let me in, not only will I serve you dinner and sup with you, but I'll clean your house. Come on now. That's what the presence of God does. See, what I found out is God's answer to everything is eating. I like that. You know, he said, well, yeah, when you have enemies, he said, I set a table before you. Come on. You know, you got to understand something. My family, we all love to eat and we show it. You know, we're a bunch of little big people. You know, I always say, I said, my grandma was 5 foot by 5 foot. My dad was 5'5 by 5'5. I mean, I remember buying a Polaroid camera so he could take a picture of his toes so he knew what they looked like. You know? So, I mean, the way I got him saved was basically talking about the best meal ever, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that Jesus is the meal ticket, and said, Daddy, you don't have Jesus, you ain't going to eat. I mean, that brought him right to his knees right there. But see, what I found out is, you know, in the world, they say when you have a bad day, a lot of times it drives them to drink. Well, it should drive us to drink, but drink from God's presence. Drink from God. How do you know if you've drunk enough, you're not aware of the problem anymore? You know, that means you're under the influence. Come on now. Does this make sense? You know, come hungry and you'll be filled. I remember years ago, we had a president that say smoked marijuana but didn't inhale. Not the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'm honestly, I mean, that's beyond stupid. I mean, if you're going to smoke, inhale it. Come on now. Don't be dumb enough to smoke it, but if you're going to smoke it, inhale it. Don't be a faker. But I go to church, and I can tell those inhaling, come on now. You know, they're God. And I know the fakers. Yeah, I mean, they're still going through the motion, but they ain't getting nothing. They ain't getting, why? Because they're not inhaling. You have to taste and see. Taste and see. Come on now, taste and see. I expect, you see, I found out something. If you're hungry and you expect to see, guess what? Revelation flows. Revelation only flows to the hungry. Taste and see. Come on. You know, most people have as much God as they want. See, all that matters is being with the one your soul loves. That's all that matters. As a deer pants for the water, so our soul thirsts for God. Psalm 42, verse 1, but 42, verse 8 says, deep calls on the deep. What I found out is there is a remnant that's not settling for the shallow anymore. You know, they don't want to go to shallow churches. They don't want, you know, you know, how many of you have ever been to restaurants? I mean, my wife likes these restaurants where, you know, it's like a seven-course meal. It's not seven course, it's seven bites. Everything's real fancy, but it's all plate. You come in, I'm looking, and it's real expensive. I like going to restaurants where you don't see the plate. Come on now. You know. Hey, the plate's probably dirty, so I'm glad you're not seeing it, but I don't care. Come on. I'm there to eat, baby. Come on. You understand? But, you know, you know that there's a depth in people when they want more and more and more and more and more. You become a God addict. Come on now. In fact, if you know, when you don't have enough of his presence, you get the shakes. And guess what? If you're Pentecostal, after the presence comes, you get the shakes. You know, charismatics just fall out under it. If you're like me, I'm doubly blessed because I can shake and fall at the same time. But Psalm 63, verse 1, talks about how our soul longs for him. But it then goes on to say, you know you're a fanatic when your flesh craves him. I yearn to feel God. You know, I hear people say, I walk by faith and not by feeling. So that's cool. Oh, yeah. God calling. Hey, tell Clarence the congratulations. He just got his wings. But, you know, sorry about that. Now I got to get back on my track. Now I'm thinking about Clarence's wings. But, you know, you get to the place, honestly, in your life, you know, I believe, you know, it's like my marriage. When I said I do, I did. So marriage, I'm honestly, I always love my wife by faith. You know, it's a commitment. It's not a feeling, but guess what? If I never feel love for months and months and months, something's wrong. If I don't have a touch for months and months and months, something's wrong. That's the same true of a relationship with God. There are seasons. Come on, there are days and maybe even a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, where all you can do is faith it out. You're not feeling anything, you're not feeling it, but who cares? You know what God's word is true. But if that keeps going and going and going, you're going to have to draw near to God and say, God, what's wrong? In fact, you're probably going to have to fast and pray, because it says when the bridegroom's away, then you'll fast. You get desperate. You say, God, I'm going to have to get my flesh back under control because I'm not feeling it. Come on now. And that's what a new wineskin is. A new wineskin is, honestly, if you see that, you'll find out. It says, when the bridegroom away, in Mark chapter 2, verse 19, it says, then they'll fast. Then it goes on to talk about new wineskins, old wineskins. He never changed the subject matter. And what he's basically saying is that the new wineskins are the type that they're so desperate for God, they're going to do whatever it takes to draw his presence. The old wineskins don't care he's not there. Why? Because they love the form, not the substance. So I want him. I want him. I want him so much. I want him wherever I go. I want to see his face. I don't want to just see his hand. I honestly believe, you know, when you need a healing, seek the healer. Too many people seek healing. When you need provision, seek the provider. Because if you get in his presence, you're going to get what he has. Come on now. If you contact him, it's going to flow from him to you. So seek his face. You know, don't embrace the move of God. Embrace the God of the move, and you'll never miss a move of God. But if you just embrace what he's doing, when he stops doing it that way, guess what? You're stuck. You got a dried up brook, and he's moved on. Does this make sense? It's all relational. That's what it is. In John 17:3, it says, this is eternal life, that I may know you. That's eternal life. We know God, not know about him. And you know, Psalm 27, verse 8 says, when the Lord says, seek my face, it says, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. So my whole life, I'm just trying to bring people face to face with Jesus. If the veil can be removed, they'll be changed. If they see him, they can't stay the same. So all my job is honestly seeking him to such a degree he reveals himself to me, then through me. That's what it is. Hanging with God. Walking with God, listening to him, what he says to do, just do it. It's all up to him anyway. You know, does this make sense? I remember years ago, I was preaching under a 4,000-seat tent in New Jersey, and that was such a good week. I mean, Tommy Barnett was there that week. Mauro Murillo was there that week. You know, Jesse Duplantis was there that week. And I was like the generic brand they brought in to meet budgets, because all I require is the microphone. You know, but it was my night. And, you know, I'm in the elevator minding my own business. I'm, you know, and I knew this guy was going to the meeting because he had this Bible, big Bible. So I'm a very spiritual man. The bigger the Bible, you know. So I'm looking at him, I thought, oh, and he looks over at me, and you know, he said, have you ever heard of this Woody Woodson dude? I said, yeah. He said, I'm his best friend. I'm staring at this guy. Now you got my attention, because I got a new best friend, and I'm tickled. You got to say something. I think everything's funny. Well, that's funny. So, I mean, he's telling me things about me I didn't know. He told me about my wife, Pat. I have a wife named Pam. Pat and Pam sound alike, but one letter will get you killed. Come on now, you know. He told me, he looks at me, he said, I've been to every one of his meetings. I said, so have I. He said, it's weird, I've never seen you. I said, it's even weirder, I've never seen you. He said, I've got all his teachings. I said, I threw some of his out because I didn't like them. Truth, man, that is truth. Any preacher understands that one. This is the keeper. Throw this one out. Burn it. Don't go there anymore. You know, and I'm having such a good time with this guy. So when we get to the under the tent, I get there early and I go to the head usher. And I had the first 150 people in under the tent are my people. They're either elders or pastors, people I invited, because I figure if no one else likes me, they like me already. So I'll just preach to them. But I had a few openings. So I go to the head usher. I said, you see that man over there? I said, he's my best friend. Put him in the front row. Put him in the front row. So they announce, you know, and I go over and I said, this is my new best friend. And I had to, they said, what's your name? And, you know, but he thought I was Harold Woodson again. Everyone thinks I'm Harold. So, but it was funny. Yeah, and I knew, you know, he had gotten nothing's right, so he read some of my promos. But how many times does God show up and we don't recognize him? Hey, don't feel bad. You're in good thing. Jacob, I mean, the guy has a vision or dream of the ladder, Jacob's ladder. Angels going up and down. It's even called Bethel, the house of God. And afterwards, Jacob kind of wakes up and says, God was in this place, and I knew it not. I said, how dumb can you be? And I sometimes hear God say the same thing to me. Come on. How many of you understand that? He's everywhere. Start looking for him. Become aware of his presence. I mean, that's the key to success in everything. He'll give you one word. He'll give you one thought. You know, you begin to recognize him in others and be able to speak prophetically into their lives. See, once we found God, and actually he actually found us, then that's when the seeking begins. It's not when it ends. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith seeks God. Faith seeks the presence of God. Faith accesses the presence and the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the manifest presence of God. That's what it's about. True believers don't just live by principles. They live by presence. Everywhere you go, he is. And how many of you understand God seeks worshipers? He's not seeking worship. He's not. He wants you to worship because honestly, worshipers seek God. And in the moment you recognize his presence, of course praise and worship is going to flow. But God is not as into the song as he is into the singer. God wants you. Not your performance. You. You need to understand that. I remember several, you know, this actually is in my wife's new book, but when Joey was 7 years old, he walks into my office and he my son Joey, and he says, Daddy, how come most people don't hear from God? And I turned it right around. I said, Joey, how do you hear from God? I always find out if you answer a question with a question, you can at least pinpoint where people are. Jesus did it all the time. And he said, Daddy, I loved what he said. He said, Daddy, I worship and praise him until the air changes. And when the air changes, I shut up and listen. And that's what happens. If you'll worship and praise him, you'll draw him, especially when your heart's after him. He knows when your heart's after him. When you really want him to show up, he wants to be wanted. So he's going to show up anywhere he's wanted. Come on. If you really want his presence, he's going to invade because he's waiting for people who long for him because he longs for them. And we see that. And honestly, how many of you understand downloads from heaven come when you make that connection? 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It was a time when the word of the Lord was rare. Samuel, at the time, I thought he was a young boy, but I actually looked at the commentators. He was around 12 years old. But he was serving in the temple, ministering to the Lord. And it says, in a time when the word of the Lord was rare, we see him ministering to the Lord. You know what was rare? People ministering to the Lord. That's why the word of the Lord was rare. If people were actually ministering to the Lord, he'd be ministering back and speaking. Come on. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And I'll be honest, as we will minister to the Lord this year, make it your desire to minister to him. He'll minister right back to you. Understand something about God. He is so wild about you. He loves to be in your presence. And you hang around God. How many people understand in his presence, fullness of joy, his right hand is pleasure forevermore? I found out that the happiest people in the world are people full of the presence of God. They are the happiest people, you know? And the saddest people in the world are religious people. Come on, because honestly, they're performing. And then God doesn't have to show up on the performance. But when you're in the presence of God, you don't even have to try to be happy. He's the Most High God. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. You can't hang around God and be negative. You got to be kidding. He's always speaking faith. He's always, I mean, come on. And you begin to hang around. I was going to a Quick Trip, which is a convenience store in Tulsa. It's a major convenience store chain. And they had this new girl employee. And, I know most of the people there because I drink my coffee there every day. I'm in Tulsa. And I was going into the Quick Trip thing, and this girl was watching me for a week when I was home. And at the end of the week, she said, "I've been watching you." I said, "Well, I'm not stealing anything." She said, no. She said, "I've been watching you." She said, you can't be that happy." I laughed. I said, "Yeah, I am." They said, "Why are you so happy?" I said, "I have a happy pappy." Right. I said, I have a happy God. He's always with me. Always with me. I got oil of gladness, not the sadness thing. I said, I rejoice evermore. I am. I very rarely get down now. It's funny because I have to purposely work at getting down. And there are times I want to. How many of you have ever been there? You want to have a fit of carnality. You do. You want to have a pity party, a party with a pit. You want to feel sorry for yourself. And you know what the word says. It's even worse when you're a preacher. Because my wife will start pulling out my CDs and playing them as though I want to hear them. So I usually send her shopping. And right now, I still do this occasionally. I will actually set my timer for an hour. And my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to be depressed for an hour. I'm going to sit here. I'll throw a temper tantrum. So get out of here. Please leave. I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to whine. I'm going to complain. And when the dinger goes off, I'm going to put my big boy pants on, Greg, get up, and be happy again. But for an hour, hey, it's the way I do counseling. People come in for counseling. I tell them, I said, you got 30 minutes. I'm setting the timer. You can talk about whatever you want. When the timer goes out, you're gone. So if you want to talk about small talk for 30 minutes, you ain't wasting my time." That's why I don't pastor. Usually when people send to me, pastor sends someone to me for counseling, they want them gone. He said, cast the devil out of them or just cast them out. Either way, get rid of them. But see, those that know their God, they're strong and they do exploits. See, the degree that you know God, you have strength. You know, when you know your God, you can go through any storm and be stable. Come on. When you know your God, you can be constant. You know, people don't understand something. I'm happy, and sometimes all my situations stink at one time. And yet everyone thinks, hey, you're so happy. I say, yeah. I don't want to say, oh, if you only knew, because that would mess up my joy level. You know, I'm casting those thoughts down. Hey, you know. I just believe God's working everything together for good, and that keeps me happy. See, you can be in someone's presence, but you might not be after their heart. I'm around thousands of people a year, and the bottom line is I don't share my heart with very many people. Because when you share your heart, you're vulnerable. Come on. And, you know, I started thinking about, you know, do you remember growing up, and we used to have these testimony services in the old Pentecostal days. Oh, they were terrible. They were the most depressing. I mean, someone would say, oh, yeah, you know, God broke my back, killed me. You know, oh, they all bless his holy name. And then occasionally you get the ones that would stand up and say, yeah, the Lord saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost 45 years ago. Someone else say, yeah, the Lord saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost 30 years ago. And I got saved at Pentecostal Holiness Church. They'd lived in a hole for years. And I would be raising my hand, and they didn't want to acknowledge me because I was newly saved. And you got to understand, before I got saved, every word out of my mouth was a cuss word. I mean, I made Bobby Knight look like a saint the way he talked. So, I mean, you know. But when I got saved, every other word was a cuss word. When I first got saved. Yeah, partial sanctification. It's a process. So here we are on Wednesday night. I raised my hand. They didn't want to acknowledge me because they knew what I was going to say in church. They were waiting for lightning to hit. And I'd stand up and I say, blankety blank blank, this is what Jesus did for me today. And you can hear, And I heard God saying, finally, someone who's current with me. Come on now. Now, if I still talk that way today, something would be wrong. Come on now. You outgrow some things. But the bottom line is, God wants you current with him. Come on. And I can remember a testimony service. I see. You imagine everyone testifying, and the Lord said, now I want to testify. There's a scripture that says God testified. God testified of a man. Acts 13:22, it says, God testified of David. He said, I want to testify. And they said, well, you know, it's all about you. He said, I want to testify of David. He's a man after my own heart. He will do my will, all my will. It said in Acts 13:36, when he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation, he fell asleep. He'd done all the will of God. That's something amazing. How many of you understand everything flows out of that love relationship with Christ? That's what I liked about the book, because everything is a heart thing with God. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. And how, you know, I mean, it's so much like the marriage relationship. When you first get married, I always say it's puppy love. If you don't work at it, it's dog eat dog before long. What you guys have to do, it's with God. And God says when you start loose, you start getting religious, go back and do what you did at first. You know, when life was simple, when you didn't know anything better than just to worship God. Come on now. When you didn't know anything better but just take God at his word. You didn't know much. But see, when you have a heart for God. See, God chose David because he saw his heart. Chose him above his brothers, because God doesn't look on outward appearances. He looks at the heart. I believe the reason why David slew a giant was he had a heart for God. Those that know their God, they're strong. They do exploits. See, I believe this. What I love about your church is you're after the presence of God. That's what you're after. And if everyone gets on the same page, he's going to show up like you've never seen him show up before. you're going to see certain things. You know, I've recognized that, you know, it's funny. When I first got saved, I was really fairly intelligent. I actually could speak very, very fluently and nice and use proper English. The problem was every anointed minister I knew butchered the English language. Butchered it! And I'd be listening to them from Texas, Oklahoma, and all that. And next thing you know, I'm just as bad. But the bottom line is I'd rather be anointed and butcher the language, come on, than be really educated, but not anointed. See, Acts 4:13, it talks about Peter and John, and when they had to stand around the Pharisees, the doctors of religion, and it said they spoke with such great boldness. And they said they took note of the boldness these men spoke of, and they recognized them as uneducated men, but they also recognized the confidence must have come from being with Jesus. That's what it's all about. You can tell when someone's been with Jesus. You can tell when he haven't. Come on now. Because those that have been with Jesus, they carry his presence. There's a residue of those that walk with God. Come on, does this make sense? See, the reason most of us are worn out is not because we're you know, most of the body of Christ is weary right now. And weariness has nothing to do with lack of sleep. Has nothing to do. Weariness has lack of the presence of God. That's what it is. Because if you honestly, you hang in his presence, you'll exchange your weakness for his strength. If you wait upon the Lord. And what did Jesus say? All you that are weary and heavy laden. He didn't say, go to bed. He said, come unto me. Come unto me. Because all the sleep in the world doesn't remove weariness. You can't hide from your problem. What you have to do is spend time with the answer. Come on now. And Jesus is the answer. He's our strength. Out of his presence comes everything we need. And that's, you know, David understood this. I love David when, you know, he recognized the ark of God wasn't where it was supposed to be. And be honest with you, there are a lot of places where they call it the house of God, but God hasn't been in the house in years. You know, a friend of mine had a Chinese pastor show up, you know, in his city, and he enjoyed, you know, ministering at his church, and he said, hey, let's go to this mega church I know in the city and tell me what you think. And this church, if I named it, you know what it was. Thousands and thousands of people there. And he walked out of the service, and he looks at the Chinese pastor. He said, what do you think? He said, it's amazing what American churches can do without God. Come on. See, you have to actually be perceptive to know that. But you see, you know, David tried to get the ark back, but he tried to do it his way. That's the problem. You can't do it. You can't do it. So he tried to carry the presence of God on a new cart. I'm going to be honest with you. You got to do it by God's word. You don't carry the presence. It's by the word of God. So, you know, while they're carrying it, they stumbled a little bit, reached out, touched the cart, killed two of them. Aaron's sons. So I end up in the house of Obed-Edom. Obi. And Obi, basically for 6 months, his house was blessed. Anytime you have the manifest presence of God, your house is blessed. Anytime you have the manifest presence of God in your business is blessed. Anytime you have the manifest presence of God. You know, I talk a lot about my son, but he does it in the business realm. You know, they once asked him, they said, how come you, what makes you so smart? He said, all of you are smart, because he was talking, I think he was with the Intel people at that time. He said, all you people are smart. He said, the difference is I'm anointed smart. And he said, because I'm anointed smart, I've got a God advantage. And he said, I can see things you'll never be able to see without this God I have. If they've reserved for me, they're reserved for me. Come on, they're reserved for God's people. Come on, The problem is we haven't tapped into that dimension, and we're going to make a shift into that dimension. Come on now, because that's the dimension the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Come on now. That's the dimension where it's the keys that lock something up and loose something, you know? I mean, and it's all because of the presence of God. My son, we were in Wisconsin at the world's largest water park. I was dumb enough to tell my son, if you ride it, I'll ride it, as long as it doesn't go round and round. Well, I've been on the world's fastest roller coasters. I mean, we're about ready to take a world tour, go from roller coaster to roller coaster. I've been at some of the world's craziest water rides. I mean, literally, you stand up there several hundred feet, and they just open up, and you're gone. You better know how to pray. You know, I kind of want to do that as like a baptismal place in the church, you know. They'll be totally sanctified by the time they hit the water. But I'm there, and I'm going down this thing, which is one of the most extreme rides in the world. And I'm going down there, and all I'm doing is praying I'll survive. It's only 40 seconds, but you wonder. Seems like a lifetime. I hit the water. I thought, oh, my son hits the water right after me. And he gets out and he starts running towards the locker, you know? So I'm trying to chase him, but I can't run anymore. I used to be able to run. I remember those days. I remember those. I literally have, you know, tapes of me running. You know, actually, now I just, you know, it's not like it was, but my head still runs. My body, not so much, you know. So, I mean, by the time I got there, he had the locker open, and he's got his, you know, iPhone out. I said, what happened? He said, God just downloaded a new algorithm for me. Well, they were working on something at his Epic, which he was working on with medical records, and they were stuck. He said, Daddy, we've been stuck for weeks. And I knew there was a breakthrough. And a 40-second plunge. God downloaded something, and the result was $1.7 billion. Well, yeah, worth of sales. $1.7 billion worth of sales. One idea, one download. But see, when you recognize the presence of God, come on, one idea, one sentence can change everything. So you understand what I'm saying? And when Obadiah, when David finally went and got the ark and did it the right way, Obadiah said, hey, if the ark's moving, I'm moving. He packed up his family immediately. He said, I've got to go where the ark is. So he became a gatekeeper in the house of God. That is what it's all about. Come on now. Following the presence of God. Is this okay? Because what I found out is if you'll listen to God, you won't miss opportunities. You won't miss things that you need to miss. If you'll get in the presence of God, come on now. I don't know how many times I have been blessed in my life just because I was worshiping God and he told me what to do. You know? I was at Lowell Roberts University years ago. It was Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving because I like to eat. Thanksgiving is like my favorite thing. I mean, every day should be Thanksgiving. And I was so happy. I was going home, and I'm minding my own business. It's 2 days before Thanksgiving. I'm flying out from Lowell Roberts University, and I'm sitting in my room, and the Lord said, I don't want you to go home. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. I knew it wasn't him, but I was open. He said, no. He said, I got an assignment for you here. He said, you have to stay here. Well, then I started thinking of scriptures that could get me out of it. Honor your father and mother. I'm going to call my daddy. I'm going to call my daddy, and I'm going to tell him. I said, I'm going to tell him that God, because my dad was just very, very newly saved. So I was hoping my dad would get upset and say, hey, I already bought the ticket. You need to go home. I said. So I was really hoping that. But instead, I told him, I said, hey, Dad, I think God told me I'm supposed to stay here. He said, you think it's God? I said, yes. He said, then you have to stay, don't you? I said, oh, man. So I stayed there, and I'll never forget that because Thanksgiving was terrible. I ate it out of cans. But the next day, I was at the aerobic center lifting weights, and there were only about 10 people on campus. Most of them were foreign students that couldn't find a place to go. But then Oral Roberts walks in. You understand something? We never saw Oral above ground because there's tunnels that run through, all the way through ORU. So there was so many threats about it against his life. He would actually go from tunnel to tunnel and just come up to speak with security around him. So, you know, this was unusual. So I'm lifting weights, and there's Oral Roberts with no security. And he comes walking over to me, and he said, son, do you mind if you want to walk with me for a while? He said, what's your name? He said, I used to be a stutterer too, you know. So happy. By the time I finally composed myself and was able to talk, I didn't say much other than my name. He said, he asked me what I was called to do, and I mentioned the ministry. He said, do you mind if I share some secrets with you? And for the next 20 to 30 minutes, my life was changed forever. He shared about how he prepped for meetings. He shared about how he could discern if a devil was in the room. He shared about the persecution you could expect and the trials you could expect to go through. I mean, I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget the last point because he stopped walking. He grabs hold of me. He said, look at me. So I look at him. He said, son, never forget this. He said, don't ever try to go out there until you sense the manifest presence of God on you. He said, I've done it both ways. He said, I've gone out there before the presence of God, you know, the power literally came on me. And he said, when I prayed for people, we had no results. He said, but when that presence, when the power of God, see to it that you stay in Jerusalem until you've been covered with the power from God. Presence. He said, when that comes on you, he said, when you start praying for people, it's just like Jesus himself. And I believe the problem with the church is we've tried to do things without the power of God on us. You know, and be honest with you, we know the difference. You know when you're clothed. You know all of a sudden when that anointing kicks in, you know it. You know when it's all God. We're about ready to get into a season where it's all God. The wind is changing. The wind that's been against us is now coming behind us. I started thinking about that because you're mentioning winds because, something God's been speaking to me all throughout Scripture. I begin to recognize, I said, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. We've been prophesying to bones, and they're coming alive. And now God says, prophesy to the wind. There's a new wind coming. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. There's a second wind coming in America. And God says, prophesy to the wind. I started looking in Scripture where it says remember when 600,000 men, they were complaining because there's no food in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 11. And they complained to Moses, and Moses complained to God. And God says, is my power limited? He said, I'm about ready to fulfill my word. And if you know, that's Numbers 11:23. But Numbers 11:31 says how he fulfilled his word. He said, there was a wind sent from God, and it blew in the quail. There was a wind sent from God. We're about ready to get a wind sent from God. Come on, a fresh wind, a mighty rushing wind sent from God. We know when the flood hit, if you study, with Noah, in Noah 8:1 said, God remembered Noah, or took note of him. And it says, he sent a wind and the water subsided. I believe God that we were about ready to make up for all the wasted years if we'll get our sails out, if we'll get our confidence out, if we catch a fresh wind. I believe we're going to begin to see some things move supernaturally fast. Accelerate. You can have things happen in a day. I mean, I've watched it. I've watched people get promoted in a day. I've watched people fall in a day. But you know, I believe we're coming to a season of very strong suddenly. And it's all going to be tied to the presence of God. And I believe that, honestly, we are literally going to be the body of Christ. Literally carrying the ark everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, whatever we bind will be bound. Whatever we loose will be loose. We're going to be the legislators. Come on now. We are going to be the ones who obey. If we forbid it, it's forbidden. If we permit it, it's permitted. It's a whole different day. There's a new sheriff in town. Come on now. Hallelujah. There's a new authority in town. And guess what? We're bringing God. We're bringing God. Come on. See, we've been carrying for revival. We've been carrying it for a long, long time. But now we're about ready to release it. This is a season of release. And we're going to release the revival seeds that have been growing and growing. And for year after year after year, many of us have developed our faith for such a time as this. It's a new season. Some of you, this is your year. You're going to be released from chronic illness. Some of you, this is your year, you're released from debt. I believe that literally the presence of God is going to destroy lack. Come on now. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. I believe things are about ready to birth from the right into the left. I believe we're going to learn to run in our lane. And I can just sense that. Many of us, we have found our niche. Now we can run. Others were still looking for the niche, but we're going to find it. And when we basically, sometimes we have to serve someone else for a while until God shows us ours. Come on now. But once he shows us ours, it's time to run. How many of you are ready, come on, for a move of God? How many of you are ready for God to move on your, how many of you say, God, I want an increased presence. I want an increase in my own life and through my own life. God, I desire above everything else you, your manifest presence. God, I don't want a teaching without a touch. God, I don't want to just read words off of a page. I want the pages to read me. Come on now. I want the word to become alive and active, sharper than every two-edged sword. God, I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. We're going to get fine-tuned, church. And everywhere you go, you're going to become more and more and more aware of God. It could say I want every head to bow, no one looking around. Well, if you do that, God may give you a dream if you fall asleep. But how many of you tonight just say, I want that anointing. I believe there's an anointing for the presence of God. Well, you know, is there anyone here say, I'm not right with God tonight? Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you did and you walked away, but you got to get right. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody? You guys all know you're right? Come on. Well, I'm just going to make sure. I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm going to pray God will keep my face in front of your face all the days of your life if you're lying, and just the terror of that situation will drive you to your knees. Come on now. But how many of you today say, man, I want to be part of that prophetic generation. I want to be part of that group. Come on now. God, I'm reporting for duty, sir. And sir, God, I need another touch. I want that love just to explode. God, I want that love anointing for my portion. You know, I love that. I love, actually, my favorite part of your book was the evangelism part. Because honestly, that's how that's what happens with me. God will fix me on one person. And, you know, we're having such supernatural results with youth now. It's supernatural. I don't know, understand that. They don't know I'm old, I guess. But, you know, we did a meeting last year with five youth groups in Maine. This year we have 50-some-odd already signed up to come. You know, we're gonna have most of the youth in Maine at our youth thing this year. It's exploding. But I have a supernatural love for those kids. I don't know why I do. I just love them. It's not even my normal love for normal people. It's supernatural. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? I believe God wants to give us supernatural love for our portion. Come on now. See, I found out if your love life is good, you're going to love life. You know? Yeah. You should write a book on that, Jack. You can write the physics of the love life. I'll have my son explain it to me. But if you want prayer tonight, I believe what's going to happen is a mantle. I believe that we're going to get clothed tonight in a different level, in a different level. And one of the things I believe God's going to do is make us more aware of him, more sensitized. He's about ready to move some mountains. He's about ready to move. He's adjusting everything, adjusting everything, adjusting everything. He's adjusting. Have you ever noticed God is on the move? He's moving people in. He's moving people out. He's moving people to different locations. He's moving people into different new ministries and new, you know, nothing's the same. It is a year of change, which is the same thing as release, because a lot of times you have to release one thing to embrace change. Come on. If you want prayer now, I want to pray for you. Come on up.